Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Adele Stan, who is Altnet's Washington Bureau Chief. She has an article on altnet.org called Five Reasons Progressives Should Treat Ron Paul with Extreme Caution. Welcome to Background Briefing, Adele Stan.
Thanks so much, Ian.
And since you've asked here in your article if you're a member of the anti-woman, anti-gay, anti-black, anti-senior citizen, anti-equality, anti-education, pro-communist witch hunt wing of the progressive movement, Ron Paul is your guy. Any takers?
Well, you know, Ian, I so understand the hunger among progressives for a leader with some momentum who is against the building of American empire and overseas interventions, war, acts of war. I understand the hunger for a leader who is, you know, ready to pull the plug on the drug war conducted by the federal government that only seems to increase the prison population and deaths by drugs. But Ron Paul is not the way to go. I mean, he's so not the way to go. I mean, if Ron Paul is a friend of the John Birch Society. Now, I understand a lot of young people don't know what that is, but I urge people to familiarize themselves with the history of the John Birch Society, which, you know, Ron Paul is still doing presentations to the John Birch Society. I mean, these are the people who stood against the desegregation of our public schools. But, of course, Ron Paul's against public education pretty much, too, so...
Well, wasn't he the he was the keynote speaker, right,
at the 50th anniversary celebration of the John Birch Society.
Right. And he said some stuff there that was pretty disturbing, right? I mean, it had echoes of Rush Dooney's, what's it called, that movement?
Reconstructionist
movement, yeah. What is his religiosity then? And you know,
well, you know, it's very difficult to discern. And here's one thing I do not begrudge Ron Paul. He is loath to talk about the particulars of his religious beliefs. And you know, I mean, I think that's fine. You know, I think that's in the great American tradition that you know there should be no religious test. However, the religious beliefs of a candidate, especially a religious candidate, can tell us a lot about their values and who they are. And the theology of the Christian Reconstructionist movement is long been intertwined with the ideology of the John Birch Society. In the case of the Birch Society, it's presented in a more secular, economic, libertarian kind of, you know, language, set of language. And when you get into Christian Reconstructionism, the rationale is more about this being God's law, as, you know, as the founder, Rush Dooney, interpreted the Hebrew Bible, which by the way, the stated the goal of Reconstructionism is to implement the law of the Old Testament, of the Hebrew Bible, as the law of the land.
Sharia law for Christians, right?
Well, in a sense, yes.
Right.
In a sense. And I shouldn't say Christians, because it's a particular set of Christians. And, right. You know, there's a range of belief among Christians from, you know, very hard right to very, very progressive.
But that hasn't stopped Ron Paul from hiring Gary North, who's a Christian Reconstructionist leader and the son of the founder of Christian Reconstruction and the Constitutional Party, Rush Dooney.
Oh, I think, yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, there are very, very clear links and sympathies expressed by Paul to the Reconstructionist movement, and that would certainly be one. I mean, he hired Gary North as a staffer when Ron Paul was first elected to Congress in 1976. And Gary North didn't last long because he found the culture of Washington to be corrupt. And so he left. But he remains a supporter of Ron Paul, as does Howard Phillips, the Christian Reconstructionist who founded the Constitution Party, which is, you know, has a Christian Reconstructionist platform. its mission is to restore God's law, in the law, you know, is consonant with the law of the Bible. So I think there's a lot to be concerned about.
But by the way, when Ron Paul finished his second presidential question in 2008, when he dropped out, he didn't endorse John McCain or even the Libertarian Party nominee, Bob Baer.
Right.
Bob Baer. He endorsed the Constitutional Party president, Chuck Baldwin.
Right, Chuck Baldwin. And Chuck Baldwin is quite a character. He's a Baptist minister who travels in Reconstructionist circles and is very, his beliefs seem to be quite in line with theirs, with the exception of, his interpretation of what's going to happen in the end times. Which meant that when he accepted the nomination of the Constitution Party, he made a big point of saying that he would be faithful to their platform. And Ron Paul, in 2008, also showed up at a pastor's forum conducted by Chuck Baldwin in Chuck Baldwin's church, Pensacola, Florida church. And at that event, I mean, you have Chuck Baldwin just effusively praising Ron Paul and Ron Paul's presidential candidacy, so I'm not sure how that all works out vis-a-vis tax law. and you also have an interesting exchange between Ron Paul and a congregant of Chuck Baldwin, in which you can see hints of sympathies with the Reconstructionist view of the end times and about the state of Israel. And I don't want to bog our conversation down with too much of the vicissitudes and the nitty gritty of right wing theology and theological disputes. But there's plenty in Ron Paul's record of things that we know he said, or that we know were published under his name, to be concerned about. Just but I do think there's this mistaken belief that Ron Paul is this completely secular libertarian figure, when really I would call him a theo-libertarian.
Let's look at Adele Stand again, Alternet's bureau chief in Washington. She has an article at alternet.org called Five Reasons Progressives Should Treat Ron Paul with Extreme Caution. The reason I think a lot of people find him attractive is that he's a kind of like the Republicans, Dennis Kucinich, in as much as when you have all those stiffs up there running for president, just parroting the party line faithfully and rigidly, this guy throws all these bombshells, and distinctly makes them very uncomfortable, makes Fox News uncomfortable. They tried to disappear him by simply not reporting him. I mean, he almost won the Iowa straw poll.
And this week he's running number three ahead of Michelle Bachmann in the Gallup poll.
Well, there you go. I mean, they can't stop him, right? Something's happening out there, right? And what would happen, Adele, isn't there a possibility of a great irony here where the Republican Party could be the anti-war party?
Well, yes, there is. He is pushing the field that way. And it's important for progressives to understand where those views come from, and that when you look at the totality of the Ron Paul agenda, the ends may not justify the means. I certainly think they do not at all, because the Ron Paul agenda is really about disempowering anybody who doesn't already hold power, which includes, women, blacks, gays, anybody who is outside of the majority, the white male majority. However, when you get into what Ron Paul's function is inside of the Republican Party, I mean, the Republican establishment at this point, in terms of its grip on power, is really greatly diminished. At this point, really what it owns is the infrastructure of nomination and of conducting campaigns, only to a certain degree, though. It no longer has the power to set the agenda, because of the long view of the far right starting in 1964 with the Barry Goldwater campaign and continuously applying pressure to push the party to the right. And that involved taking over some of the levers of power at the local level, which gave them delegates at national conventions. And it also involved having a character like Ron Paul perpetually running for president so that the rest of the field has to respond and move his way as, you know, his frustration with both government and with foreign intervention at a time of economic distress resonates with regular people.
Well, Adele Stan, I think you can see that the Republican Party is out of control, if you will. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the traditional kind of wing of the Republican Party thought it was a good idea to bring in the Christian evangelicals to, as the Democrats use labor unions to walk the precincts and lick the stamps. They thought this was a great idea, but it's clearly backfired on them as much as they don't control their own base, and Rick Perry's sort of running away with it, you know.
Well, the fact that the Bush crowd has not yet been able to stop Rick Perry, I think, is really because they don't like him. They're much more establishment, and they have not been able to stop him.
No, I think it is somewhat out of control. But how, given that Ron Paul has these libertarian trappings, if you will, and I don't know the extent to which it's real heartfelt ideology, but he did name his son Rand after Ayn Rand, who's the kind of poster girl or boy, really. I mean, if you listen to what she says, she's almost like, I'm really a man.
Right.
and man should do this, and man should do this, and man shouldn't do this, and man should only be out for man's self-interest, and altruism is a terrible thing. So, given that Ayn Rand's number one disciple was Alan Greenspan, who Ron Paul clashed with in every time they had an opportunity in hearings throughout, Greenspan's long tenure as the head of the Federal Reserve. So what's going on there? I mean, you would have thought that Ron Paul, if he likes Ayn Rand, would get on with Ayn Rand's number one disciple.
Yes, but Greenspan was co-opted by the establishment, you see. That is the way that Ron Paul would see that he's a sellout. I mean, just by virtue of accepting the chairmanship of the Federal Reserve, that would make Greenspan a sellout. In fact, there's a story that Ron Paul told in a speech that I watched online. It might have been the John Birch Society Gala, where he very victoriously, you know, he tells a story about how he had this article by Greenspan in an Ayn Randian publication called The Objectivist that was written in the 1960s, and he got the opportunity to meet with Greenspan when Greenspan was confirmed to the Federal Reserve, and he brought a copy of the magazine and had Greenspan sign the article, autograph it for him, and asked him if he stood by what he wrote, and Greenspan said he did, but would not offer any any further elucidation on that fact. And of course, it was Greenspan who Ron Paul contends created the bubble, and I think there is, I think there are a lot of people who would agree with that by keeping inflation artificially low. So there is just, it's an intellectual dispute. And I think that to see Ron Paul as a traditional Ayn Rand type of libertarian is not quite on the money because, I mean, she was completely atheist. Mm-hmm. And Ron Paul roots his ideology in his Christianity.
Well, just in closing, Adele, given that you've studied this 2008 keynote address that Ron Paul gave to the 50th anniversary gala of the John Birch Society, which was founded by candy magnate Robert Welch, but the co-founder, of course, is Fred Koch, the father of the Koch brothers, who are much in the news, both as supporters of, as exemplars of the new oligarchy, but also as kind of poster boys for all that ails America. Where does Ron Paul stand on American capitalism? Is he a Democrat or a plutocrat?
Ron Paul is not would not be a suitable candidate for the Kochs. I mean, you know, this is what happens as movements go along, of course, and disputes over power and its acquisition and how to maintain it arise, and you have different factions. And while their ideology may stem from a common source, I mean, there are differences there in that Ron Paul is not as pro-capitalist in the sense that the Kochs are. Well, not pro-corporate. He's much more against the government help for corporations and there are differences. That's why Herman Cain is in the race. I mean, Herman Cain is basically the stand-in for the Koch business agenda, and he's there to push the field, you know, toward the Koch business agenda, which is much more corporatist.
Well, boy, they picked a loser there, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
what an idiot! Yeah,
I gotta say, I thought he would do better.
Right,
I mean, not necessarily in numbers, but at least in debates, I thought he'd be much.
Right.
Better.
Well, he's got the Sharia crowd. What can I say? I thank you for joining us here, Adele.
I'm sorry.
I said I thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
A pleasure. Bye bye.
Bye.
Again, I've been speaking with Adele Stan, who's Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief. She has an article on alternet.org called Five Reasons Progressives Should Treat Ron Paul with Extreme Caution. We're going to take a brief station break and be back speaking with historian Michael Kaysen.